Tonight we will conclude our study in John, our Bible lessons in John that we've been doing for the last few months now. And of course, John goes up to 21 chapters, and we'll look at a few verses tonight and see what the Lord will have to speak to our hearts tonight. Our scripture text tonight will be taken from John chapter 21, verses 3 through 4. John 21, 3 and 4. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. In the last few weeks, as I mentioned, we have been talking about John, and one of the things that we understand about John is that he presented his word a little bit different from the disciples present from the other apostles presented theirs. John emphasized the omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient character of Jesus Christ. He emphasized that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And as we close out this chapter tonight, as we close out this book tonight, the omniscient characteristic of God is clearly expressed throughout this last chapter that we read. The verses that we read talk about Jesus, the disciples going fishing. And they went fishing and they caught nothing. The night was a struggle for the disciples. They toiled all night to no avail. And when the end of their long night came, they were left tired, disappointed, and worst of all, with nothing to show for their labor. These were experienced men. They knew exactly what they were doing. They had worked like this many times before, working till the break of day and then bringing to shore the fruits and the results of their hard labor. This time, however, would be different. There were other times that were similar to this night. And I'm sure if you speak to anyone who fishes on a regular basis or any fishermen, they'll tell you sometimes are good and sometimes it's not so good. Sometimes you catch something and sometimes you don't. This night, obviously, as we read, they caught nothing. There is a similar situation to this in Luke chapter 5. It gives a similar account. It's not the same account, but it gives a similar account of when the disciples were in a boat and Jesus told Peter, he said, cast your net. He said, we haven't caught anything. We've tried and we haven't caught anything. And then when he did, he caught. And when he came up, the nets were broken. It's because it was filled with so many fish. This time was a little bit different. This night was different. Unbeknownst to them, they would be rewarded at a time when they least expected it. Faithfully, they would go about doing what they knew to do, doing what needed to be done in order to receive a blessing. There's nothing wrong with when you say, I'm coming to the house of the Lord because I want a blessing. You go to work, we go to work every day, and at the end of a week or 2 weeks, you're expecting a blessing. You really are. So there's nothing wrong with being like that. Just not every single time, though. When you come into the house of the Lord, you're just not looking to get. But they were expecting a blessing, but there was none for them that night, so far as they could see. They would make it back to the shore, but they would make it back to the shore with the greatest catch ever. But this time, breakfast would be waiting, prepared for them by Jesus. So the title of my lesson tonight is Breakfast is Waiting. Breakfast is Waiting. The Bible doesn't indicate to us how long Jesus was standing on the seashore, watching his disciples toil and struggle all night. However, I believe, and I would like to believe, that he was probably there all night. He was probably on the seashore watching them all night toil and struggle to catch fish. And as the day began to dawn, the Lord called out to his disciples. And just when it seemed as if all hope had been lost and that it was time to accept their fruitless labor of the night, here came a voice from the shore asking them in John chapter 21, verse 5, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. Jesus knew that they hadn't caught anything. As I mentioned before, his omniscient characteristic was now. This was the third time he had appeared to his disciples after he was resurrected. He knew that they hadn't caught anything, yet still he asked a question. Their response to them was obviously no. But what came next would be an overwhelming blessing that they would hardly be able to contain. Verse 6 says, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of the fishes." In a similar way, we live our lives doing the things that we know how to do because we have the experience to do it. We go by past lessons, past experiences have told us, but this time Jesus is saying, cast the net on the right side of the ship. In other words, do what the Lord instructs you to do without debate. And at his word, they acted. Notice here that there was no questioning his word. They were at the point of, what do I have to lose? I've been toiling all night. I've been giving myself to this situation all night. It's been a struggle. So the call comes forth, cast your net on the other side, on the right side. And they did so. When the time was right, Jesus spoke, and the trial was over. When the time was right. At any time throughout their struggle, at any time throughout the night, Jesus could have spoken to them and given them their miracle in the middle of the night. He did not. The scripture says, as the sun began to rise and as the day was breaking, that's when Jesus called out. After they had struggled all night, that's when Jesus called out and said, cast your nets on the other side. That's when their miracle came. He waited until they had struggled, done everything they knew how to do before he gave them their blessing. And sometimes that is the way the Lord is with us. And he's not doing it so that he can take pleasure in watching us struggle. He's doing it so that we can understand that when I get to my wit's end, when there's nothing else that I can do, when I stop trusting in my own way and trusting in my own heart, then I will clearly hear the word of the Lord and what he has to say. So many times this happens in our lives because as human beings, we're very stubborn. We're very stubborn. I'll just raise my hand and say that about myself. No one's nodding their head, so you're all good. But we're a little bit stubborn sometimes, and that's why the Lord will take us through some things. And let me not get ahead of myself, but this was the disciples' profession. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew where the right spots were to go and find fish. They knew the tide, the high tide, and the low tide. Many years ago, I got an opportunity to go clamming with Brother Brian Correcha up in Maine, and you knew the right spots to go to. The places where you knew that, you know, if it wasn't in one area, you would try another area because of experience. Experience tells you, okay, it's not here, it's there. But see, the disciples had tried all night, and they came up with nothing. If they can't bring anything to shore, guess what? A day's wages may be lost. At times, we all struggle through various situations in life, and then we realize, wait a minute, What's going to happen if this doesn't work out the way that it's supposed to? What will happen if I'm doing all of this, struggling all night long and toiling all night long? What happens if at the end of all of this, I have nothing to show for it? We're faithful to the house of God. We attend regular scheduled services. We come to prayer meetings. We come to concerts. We come to special services. You name it. You know what you do. You have to do, and you do it. We worship. We praise God. We give him praise. We give him sacrifice of praise. But a lot of times the night continues in our lives without yielding the blessing that we're hoping for, that we're looking for. And sometimes that night is prolonged. That situation is prolonged. Then the questions come, what else can I do? What should I do? What must I do? What am I going to do, Lord, if this doesn't work out? It's nighttime and the nets are empty. The day is about to break, and I have nothing to show for my faithfulness and my giving. In John chapter 21, verse 7, the word of God says, therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. This really jumped out at me when I was reading this and studying this and realizing that John is the apostle that is also known as the one that was closest to the Lord. He's the one that leaned on the Lord at the Last Supper. He is the one that was John, the most historians will if you read, he was very young. He was the youngest of the disciples. He outlived them all. But at this time, John was probably a teenager. I've seen places where they put him maybe around 17 years old or even younger than that. But John is the one that said to Peter, it is the Lord who's calling out. John was the one who always stayed closest to Jesus. He is the one, as I mentioned, that leaned on the Lord. Because John always stayed close to the Lord, he recognized his voice after a night of struggle that produced nothing. None of the other disciples knew who it was that called out to them. Peter's the one that said at the very beginning, I go fishing. Because at this point, they had lost hope. Jesus had died, and they had lost hope. What is next for us? What's going to happen next? So Peter, as their leader, next leader, said, I go fishing. The rest of them said, I go with you. Then in the middle of the night, as the day was breaking, and a voice called out from the night, nobody recognized it but John. And whatever situation that we find ourselves in, and regardless of how long that we're going through that situation, regardless of how long our night is, regardless of how tough our struggle is, we must stay faithful to God so that we will recognize his voice when he calls. We will go through struggle. We will go through problems. As I mentioned before, we'll stay faithful to the house of the Lord. Stay faithful to the things of God. So that when he calls, you hear his voice. So that when he calls, you recognize his voice. And a few chapters early in John 10, 27, the word of God says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John was paying attention that night. John's ear was always close to hearing from the Lord. The other disciples at this point in their struggle, they were doing what they knew how to do. But John, for some reason, was still clearly hearing that was the Lord. That's Jesus that spoke. What we need to accept and understand is that many of our struggles are God-ordained. And that is the ones we do not bring in ourselves, the struggles we don't bring in ourselves. We know well the story of Job and how Satan went before the Lord with the sons of men and presented themselves before God. And the devil asked the Lord for permission to test Job in order to see if his faith would endure and God gave Satan permission. And we know that Job does indeed endure and was rewarded for his faithfulness to the Lord. Another kind of struggle is direct result of our heartfelt, sincere prayers that we go before God and seeking prayer requests that we bring before the Lord. And when we go before the Lord and make our petitions known to him and seek his will to be done, what we're doing is, in essence, is really giving the Lord permission to do whatever he wants. Answer the prayer however he wants to answer it. I look back in my own life, and sometimes it's not until after you go through the struggle and you come through it and you said, wait a minute, I prayed such and such years ago. Why didn't I just keep my mouth closed? I probably wouldn't have gone through the struggle. But we recognize sometimes that we come to an altar after a service on a Sunday, or we go into our prayer closet and we pray these heartfelt, sincere prayers to the Lord, and we say, God, use me. I'm available to you. Touch me, Lord. Make me, and a great one, make me more like you. And then he causes all kinds of problems to come into your life. And then sometimes, because we don't recognize, we turn around and blame it on the devil. And it's the Lord just pulled back the curtain and said, you want to be more like me? Then I have to break some things inside of you so that you can become more like me. I have to let you go through some struggles so that you can become more like me. So every struggle that you go through, it's important for us to recognize. It's important for us to have the sensitivity that John the apostle had. Even after his long night of struggle and toil, Jesus called from the shore, and he's the only one that recognized the voice of the Lord. Many times, the road from prayer request to answered prayer involves some struggle. All of us would like the things that we're praying for tonight to wake up. We would like to wake up tomorrow morning and presto, prayer answered. God is delivered. And hopefully, maybe in some cases, that'll be the case. When you wake up tomorrow and you go through the day tomorrow, maybe hopefully you'll get some good news of something that you've been praying about. But I would venture to guess that for many of us, that's not going to be the case tomorrow. We might have to struggle a little bit more. The Lord will allow us to toil all night long while doing everything we know how to do, until we're exhausted and we have exhausted every reasonable option at our disposal. And really, this is for our own good, as I mentioned before. This is so that we know and understand for ourselves who God is and how powerful he is and what he wants to do in our life. We need to be aware of our limitations. We go through struggles so that God can not only show how powerful he is and how strong he is, but also that he can show to us our own limitations. That we can't just take life and do whatever we want and come up with all the answers ourselves. There's sometimes when the Lord is going to allow us to go through things so that we know our own limitations. In John chapter 21, verses 9 through 10, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Now, I don't know if whenever you've read this, you found this a little bit peculiar. But they were struggling all night to catch their fish. They didn't catch it until the Lord worked a miracle for them. They now come to shore, and Jesus has fish prepared for them. He already had their blessing prepared for them. When the disciples got back to shore, they saw this. Here it was, they were working and toiling all night long, going through everything doing everything that they knew how to do. And they get to shore, and Jesus has their blessing for them. Breakfast is waiting. They get to shore. What we need to get a hold of is that your blessing is already waiting. God already has your blessing waiting for you. And the other part of this is, if you think that's all he has is a blessing waiting for you, he's got so much more for us than we can even think about, that we can even understand. So they get to the shore, their miracle is done, the blessing is there, but then behind them, they've got a net filled that the other disciples had to come and help them. They've got a net now that they're a net filled with blessings that they're not hauling to the shore to breakfast. So God is not just interested in giving you the blessing that you're praying for. He's interested in giving you, giving us so much more than that. John chapter 21, verse 11 says, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there was so many, yet was not the net broken. God has so much more for us. The answer to prayer that you've been toiling in prayer or for is nothing compared to all that he has for you. There were great fishes, the Bible says. He's got great blessings for you. And I know this is maybe a little bit simple tonight, but it's real. If we get a hold of it and understand what God has for us, it's more than just what we're praying for. If you're praying for a healing, God has got more than a healing for you. If you're praying for financial miracle, God has got more than just enough to put in the bank for you to make it from day to day. He's got more than that for you. If you're praying for a lost loved one, he's got more than that for you. He's going to answer that psalm in such a greater measure than we can even imagine. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God has got much more. But here's the thing. We must not limit God. Don't limit God by being impatient with him. Our impatience would call us to circumvent the process and thereby creating our own self-made blessings sometimes that will leave us unsatisfied and miserable. Limiting God will bring us limited blessings. Unlimited God brings limitless blessings. When we don't limit God, he's able to do all that he wants to do, exceeding abundantly all that we can ask or even think. We can't receive our blessing and then 6 months later we're complaining about the blessing. If we're complaining about our blessing a few months later or a few weeks less, well, maybe that wasn't all the Lord had for you. Maybe we did something to circumvent that blessing. Maybe we stuck our nose in there and did something with it when God wasn't ready to give it to us. Psalm chapter 23, verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice when the disciples were dragging that net to shore, that was their blessings following them. Their blessings coming right along with them. They were pulling their blessings with them. And that's what the Lord has reaching every one of us in this room tonight. When God gives you a blessing, it just doesn't stop here today and that's it. There's a blessing that will follow us. The word of God says goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Every time you turn around, you're going to see that blessing. The fish was so great. It was a lot. And they had to drag it with them. Question for you. Are you going to get tired of dragging your blessings around? Anyone raise their hand and say, listen, God, my blessing is too heavy for me. I'm just going to leave this over here. I don't want to drag all that financial blessing you have for me. I'll leave it over there somewhere. I don't want to drag that nice home you have for me somewhere, or whatever it is that you're asking God for, or Lord, don't heal me too well. I don't want my health to be that good. I just want it enough so that I can just barely wake up every day. I think God has more for us than that. I think God has more for us than that. And as I come to a close, I see Jesus looking forward to dining at breakfast with his disciples, knowing that he will be enjoying the blessing with them. When God gives us a blessing, guess what? He's waiting to enjoy it with us. When you come, I know we worship the Lord regardless of what's happening in our lives. But when God gives you a blessing and that heart of worship and thanksgiving is poured out to him, he is standing right there with you, enjoying it just as much as you are. The Lord has a blessing waiting for us. I believe that Jesus was excited for them to see him, and that they would have been humbled and grateful at what he had prepared for them all along, with all the times that they were all night that they were struggling. Jesus was standing on shore just with an excited anticipation. I can't wait till they get here. I can't wait till they see me. I can't wait till they see what I have for them. That's what the Lord is standing on the shore doing. That's what he's standing at the end of your midnight waiting for. He's standing there waiting for you to say, God, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to keep going to church. I'm going to keep worshiping you. I'm going to keep praying, because at the end of all of this, there's a blessing for me, and I'm going to be made a better person because of all of this. God has so much for us. We have to understand that God's heart is towards us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I hear the Lord saying, you will at times toil and struggle all night. But Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In Matthew chapter 28 verse 20, the word of God says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He is watching. And as soon as the sun rises on your struggle and on your toil, he has breakfast waiting for you to enjoy it with you. The master says, come and dine. He says, someone who is excited, he's as if someone who's excitedly waiting for a dinner guest to come. Think about it. You're inviting guests over to your home, and whether it be a family member or whether it be a good friend, you can't wait till they get there, because you can't wait for a conversation to happen and just to sit down and to feed them and to see what they think about the meal that you prepared, because you always enjoy the time together. And that's what the Lord waits for us. That's how he waits for us. Just picture it. Jesus waits for us to come and dine with him. He waits for us to receive our blessing. Because the fellowship that happens, it's a different kind of fellowship that you have with the Lord at the end of your blessing than you have within your struggle and your trial. It's a different kind of conversation. The conversation might flow a little bit easier. In your struggle, we do talk to the Lord, we do seek him, and we do express ourselves to him. But when the tide shifts, and when the sun comes up, and when the day is clear, and when we can see what is happening, then the load is lifted off of our shoulder, and Jesus is looking for that kind. He wants that fellowship with us. The word of God says, come and dine. If we could all stand. I don't know what it is that you may be going through tonight, or what situation that you may have gone through. I think I've mentioned a time or two that, and I won't go into any detail here, but the struggle that the Lord had me go through for a prolonged period of time, and I really didn't even think about this when I started to look at this lesson. I was going through it as the Lord gave me the thought on this, and I was going through it, and I was like, okay, that's right. That's exactly what happens. But I'd mentioned a couple of times of going through a struggle in my own life, and now that the Lord has brought me through that particular season, that particular night that he took me through in my life, every day I look back and I see things that he is doing now that's a direct result of what happened during that dark season in my life, during that night struggle. I would bore you if I was to just tell you. I'm not standing here any more special than anybody else. All I'm telling you is that God has so much for you. God has so much for us that when we say we keep doing what we're doing, we stay faithful to the Lord, he will be faithful to us. The word of God says that he will not be a debtor to any man. So all of your church attendance and all of your giving and all of your praying, that God is storing all of that up, and he's got so much more for you And when the blessing comes, you look back and say, God, I don't even deserve a quarter of what you've got for me. But I'm thankful to you anyway. And that the word of God truly says, goodness and mercy shall follow me. I love that word. I love that word. It's a great word. And we've got to grab a hold of that tonight. So as we come forward tonight and we come before the Lord, just think about the Lord, what the Lord has for you, and ask him to give you that strength to continue tonight for whatever period of time it is. And I pray that it's as soon as possible that the Lord will deliver us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.